I'd encourage you to open your Bibles this evening to the book of Luke. Beginning in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25, and reading a few verses there. Before we read those verses, I want to remind each one of the thoughts that we covered this morning in our lesson concerning ourself. The lesson was entitled, of course, What About Myself? And we talked about what God's Word has to say about you as yourself and me as myself and our responsibility to our own self. The fact that we are a spiritual being living in a physical body, and we have responsibilities to ourselves. And we talked about the fact that we live in a me or I world, where most people want to think about what it is that I can achieve or what it is in this that's for me. And so often we forget about others. And so we talked about self. And in that lesson, we looked at several scriptures that talked about the fact that as individuals, for our own self, we must learn to correctly evaluate, examine, and test ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Test yourselves," he said. So we talked about the importance of correctly examining ourselves. Not only that, but we also talked about Galatians 6, 3 and 4 when we talked about the fact that when we go out to help others, that we need to do what? Consider our own self, lest we also be tempted. So that we have responsibilities to ourselves, to God, and to fulfill the things that He would ask us to do. And we talked about the fact that evaluating our lives so that we can control ourselves and be what we ought to be involved a number of things. And we talked about that it requires, when we talk about examining ourselves, it requires giving ourselves that examination by the correct standard. And that standard, of course, is the Word of God. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25 talks about the fact that we need to look into the perfect law of liberty, look into the mirror and behold ourselves and see ourselves as God sees us. So when we examine ourselves, it has to be by the correct standard. And also, as we examine ourselves, we need to develop the proper attitude toward ourselves. Romans 12 and verse 3 teaches us that we need to humble ourselves and we do not need to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. So you have a responsibility to yourself, and I have a responsibility to myself to make myself right with God. So what do I do? I use the correct standard to guide myself by, to judge myself by, and that is the Word of God. And my attitude needs to be that when I listen to that Word, I'm going to let it penetrate my heart and it change my life so I'll be pleasing to God. And in that, we talked about toward ourself and pleasing God, we must learn then to control or regulate ourselves. That is that we have control over our thoughts, some control over the words we speak, control over our actions, the way we act around other people. We don't throw temper tantrums, or we don't curse or lie or cheat. And our thoughts, we try to keep them pure and not lust after things of the world. So to ourselves and for God, we need to learn to regulate and conquer ourselves. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, he said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that when I have preached to others, I myself might become a castaway." He knew the importance of taking care of ourselves in relationship of conquering our life and controlling it in relationship to God. Colossians 3, 1 through 10 talks about seeking the things that are above and putting off the things that are on this earth of uncleanness and sinfulness and adultery and fornication and lying and cheating and no longer have these things in our life, because that's not to be a part of our life. So we examine ourselves to make sure we're what we ought to be. And then it's in responsibility to myself and yourself is that we need to be willing. We need to be willing. As a matter of fact, we not only need to be, but we must be willing to make the proper corrections in our life when we look in God's Word and we see the things He would have us to do and we're not doing them, that we start doing those things. And when we look in God's Word and we see the things that He tells us not to do and we are doing those things, that we stop doing those things. So we have responsibility to ourselves to be willing to make all necessary corrections that God would have us to make. And also then, we talked about the fact that we may save ourselves. Not that we can do it on our own, because we cannot do that, but through the grace and mercy of God. and His revelation to us through His Word and His giving of His Son and the perfect sacrifice, we can save ourselves through obedient faith to God by obeying the requirements He set out so we may be saved. God has done His part. His Son has done His part. The Holy Spirit has done its part in revealing the Word of God to us. So we need to be willing then to take care and listen to what God would have us to do and believe and save ourselves from that untoward generation. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, when Peter preached the news about Jesus, the good news about Jesus, His death, burial, and resurrection, and those people heard the word and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Verse 40 of Acts chapter 2. He had told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So their responsibility to themselves was to do what? Save themselves by what? Believing what Peter had said and repenting of their sins and being baptized. In verse 41 of Acts 2, it says, "And they that gladly received the word were baptized that day, and there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." You read six more verses up to Acts 2 and verse 47, and it says, "Then the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." So, as far as myself is concerned, and yourself is concerned, we have some responsibility to ourselves, to God, to listen to His Word, to learn what God would have us to do, to control our life, to be willing to make proper corrections, to save ourselves by believing and obeying God. And then we talked about the fact, in regard to self, yourself and myself, that each one of us will stand before Jesus, the Son of God, in the last day and be judged. You will not be judged for me, neither will I be judged for you. I will not be held accountable for your sins, neither will you my sins, but each one of us will stand before God ourselves and be judged according to the deeds that are done in our body by Jesus, the Son of God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, according to the words that He has spoken that are written in this book, John 12:48. So that's just a quick 5-minute review of the lesson we had this morning regarding self. What are you doing with yourself? What am I doing with myself in regard to God? So we move along this evening. We're going to talk about not self, but we're going to talk about others this evening. What about others? Talked about what about self this morning. What about others? What does the Bible say about others? My responsibility toward others. And there's no way that I can preach 15, 20, or 30 minutes and cover all these points. We need about a month series of gospel meetings to cover even part of them. Scratch the surface. Because the Bible is filled with responsibilities that we have toward other people. But as Christians, in our life as Christians, we talk about ourselves and God and ourselves then. So what about others? What's the responsibility we have toward others? Let's look at what Jesus taught when He gave the parable in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have rightly said, do this and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'A certain man went down to Jericho, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." Let's look at our responsibility to others. Now, here's a priest and Levite that you'd think that they're religious people, that they're going to do the right thing toward this man that's been beaten and robbed and left by the side of the road, half dead. What's their responsibility to others? Well, let's see what these three did. "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side." Verse 33, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him." So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Example of three different people of how they treated another person. Another person that wasn't just a next door neighbor or someone working beside him on a line in a factory or someone working beside him somewhere in a retail operation or someone sitting beside him in a desk in a classroom. This was some person who had been beaten and left beside the road half dead. What was their responsibility to that other person? Well, the first two shirked their responsibility. The first one saw him and went on the other side of the road. The second one saw him and looked and went on by. But the third one, he best fulfilled his responsibility to the other person because when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Went over and he helped him. He bandaged up his wounds. He took care of him. And then verse 35, he went a step further. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, "Take care of him. And whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? I know what you think, most likely, and what I should think about this. But he says then, and he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." What is our responsibility to others? We can learn from this that one of our responsibilities to others is this. That when we see someone who has a need, we're able to help them. We have a responsibility to help others. There's no indication, and I don't want to speculate, and I'm not going to speculate, there's no indication that this Samaritan knew this person ahead of time. He may have known him. I don't know. I don't have to speculate that. But what I do know is that Jesus said when he went and he helped this man, he's the one who was justified in what he did. So we talked about ourselves this morning. What are we doing with ourselves? Are we seeing the needs of others around us wherein we have the ability and the means and the know-how to help someone with something? It may be a phone call. It may be a piece of bread. It may be a pair of shoes. It may just be a kind slap on the back and, "How you doing, brother?" Or it may be that we try to get someone else to help us and we go and help them with their needs. It may be that someone has a spiritual need and we need to go talk to them and comfort them and help them and upbuild them and exhort them. You see, it's not all about self. We've got responsibilities to ourselves and to God, but fulfilling our responsibilities to God involves a responsibility to others. Well, not only are we seeing a Jesus teaching in the actions of the Good Samaritan that we have a responsibility to help others, but also the example of Jesus Himself. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. And we see that in the life of Jesus while He was on earth, He set the example of doing right toward other people. Now, we know that He ultimately certainly came and did the right thing, that He laid His own life down for everyone, even sinners. He gave His life for every one of us that we might live. What a great gift that is that He was willing to do. But let's just see in His life as He lived on this earth the example of Jesus in His actions toward other people. Matthew chapter 9 verses 36 through 38. Let's read those verses. "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, and because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd, He had compassion on the multitudes." The example of Jesus is that when we see someone who has a need, someone who's in trouble, someone who needs some help, someone who has something they need in their life that we can help them with, we ought to have some compassion for them. Feelings of, "I want to help." Feelings of, "What can I do?" Feelings of, "I'm sorry you got in this situation. Let me help you if I can." That's the example of Jesus. Look to Mark chapter 1 and verse 41. Again, we see that He was a compassionate person as He lived on this earth. From day to day and from week to week and month to month, as we study His life, we see that His example of compassion was great. Mark chapter 1, verse 41. "Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out His hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Jesus had the power to heal. He had the power to raise the dead. He had the power to help in so many ways. But not only did He have that power to use, but He was a compassionate man. When He saw a need, when He saw someone who was in trouble, He would have compassion for that individual or for that group of people, those crowds of people. From time to time, He was a compassionate man. Mark chapter 5 and verse 19. Let's look at it. Mark 5 and verse 19, just a few pages over in your Bibles. He says, "However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you.'" We go back and we read about this demon-possessed man and how that the demon had been cast out of this man. And Jesus said, "Go back and tell the compassion that's been shown to you." The deep meaning of what love is and care is compassion. So we need more compassion in our lives as Christians. What about other people? Well, I need to be willing to help others when I see the need arise. If I have the ability to help them, I need to help them. I have a responsibility to. I need to be compassionate on others when I see others in trouble, when I see others who have a need, when I see others struggling, when I see others spiritually sick, having spiritual problems or physical problems, then I need to help them the best that I can. Matter of fact, James talks about some of this when he's talking about those who the fact that if someone needs to be fed, if they're cold, if they're hungry, and he's talking about faith plus works. Faith without works is dead, being alone. When our responsibility to others is this, that when we see someone, we don't just say, "Well, here's a man that's 20 degrees outside and he doesn't have a coat and he's freezing to death," and we walk up to him and say, "Be ye warmed and filled." He's hungry, hadn't had a meal, he's cold, he doesn't have the right clothing on to protect him from the cold, and we say, "Be ye warmed and filled." He said, "What good does it do? What good does it do to say that and not do anything about it?" So the action is that toward others that we would help that person. We may have to go get someone else, another neighbor or someone to help us so we can find a coat that fits him. Or we may have to go and put some food together with someone else to help the man to have a meal. But you see, when it comes to other people, that's part of serving God. What about others? Are we doing right toward others? Well, this evening, let's look at about 4 points. Maybe 5, it could be 3. Depending on how far we get. But let's look at a few points about toward others. We should, first of all, have compassion. We've covered that about what Jesus said. But go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. And as Peter is talking to those who would be following God and following Christ, there's the example and the teaching that's set concerning the compassion we ought to have toward others. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another." Having compassion for one another. When we go from day to day to work, to school, in the community, in our family, other places, Jesus had compassion. He showed compassion. He taught compassion. He taught about the Good Samaritan showing compassion. So what ought we to do toward others? Be compassionate toward others, toward the needs of others. Have some care about us. Be compassionate. Look at that verse again. "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion one for another." Certainly in the church, we ought to have compassion one for another. In our families, we ought to have compassion one for another. In our neighborhood, with our neighbors, we ought to have compassion one for another. And for the most part, I believe all of us do. But sometimes do we let the thing slip away from us and we just turn our head and we don't want to really see what's going on. So we don't really want to give in and say, "Well, I'm going to do my part and help." We just kind of tiptoe away. Say, "Well, it'll go away. Somebody else will take care of it." What about other people? Are we helping others when we can by having compassion? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, our responsibility toward others is to show compassion toward them and have love toward them. Again, verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 3, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion one for one another, love as brothers." Love as brothers. When you use the term love as brothers, you think about even in a physical family, brothers love each other because they're They're in the same family. In the body of Christ, in the church, brethren, love each other because we're in God's family. But he says one thing about others is that we love our brother. How can we love God whom we have not seen if we don't love our brother whom we have seen? John tells us we can't do that. What about others? We need to have love for them. Look at Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39. In Matthew 22 and verse 39, after Jesus had gave the first and the second commandment, beginning of verse 37, he said, "And the first and greatest commandment is this, that thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the second is likened to this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." I need to have fulfill my responsibility toward others by showing them the proper love. The proper love. There's a love toward a husband from his wife. There's a love from a wife to her husband. There's a love of parents to children and children to parents and family members to family members, brothers and sisters to Christ to one another. There's a love that we ought to have toward our fellow man also. Loving one another. Romans 12 and verse 10, as Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he not only talked about things on an individual basis, but he also talked about the fact that in the church there's a certain amount of love we ought to have for one another. And in that, Romans 12 and verse 10, he said this, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love." With brotherly love. Over the years, there have been some churches who've been torn apart, scattered, been split right down the middle, or split three ways, and someone says, well, what happened to that congregation? What happened to that church? And they'll have all kind of excuses of what happened in that church that caused them to separate and go their ways. But most of the time, brethren, it boils down to one thing. A lack of love for God. A lack of love for the Word of God. And a lack of love for our brethren. If we love God as we ought to and we love His Word as we ought to, we're going to listen to God and listen to His Word. And if we do that, we're going to develop the proper kind of love toward one another. And if we have the right kind of love with one another, we ought to be able to sit down and study and learn and come to an understanding of what God wants and let that love be shown between us without having to go our separate ways. Have love one for another. Well, when it concerns other people, go back to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Again, and we see that we need to be tender-hearted and courteous toward other people. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous." Be courteous. When you think about someone with a compassionate heart and someone that's tender-hearted, you're basically talking about the same thing. Someone could be tender-hearted and maybe not show compassion, however. The action of actually putting our thoughts of tender-heartedness to work. And so there's that compassionate love, the tender-heartedness that we have and showing compassion on others and being courteous to others. Being friendly to others. Being courteous. That would be in the home, in the church, whatever walk of life we're in as Christians. Show some courtesy. You know, when we were growing up, we were taught by our superiors, our older people, our parents, our grandparents, teachers in school, people who had an influence on us, be courteous. Be courteous. Say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. No, sir, and no, ma'am. I wonder, have we lost those phrases in the last few years? How many of you teachers... How many of your students, if you got 28 in the classroom, how many of them say, do you hear saying yes ma'am and no ma'am? Or is it just kind of a, yeah, no. A couple of weeks ago I was in a store and started to go out the door and you probably look at me and tell I'm an older man. You look at James, tell him that he's a little bit older, can't you? I got some gray hair. There was these two young people. And we got at the door at the same time. You know what they did? I had to move out of their way. Like two wild horses. They didn't even acknowledge my gray hair at all, or that I was even there. What happened to being courtesy? What happened to showing courtesy? What happened to that? What happened to that? We ought to be tender-hearted and courteous. Have some manners, as we used to be taught. Mind your manners. I remember my mother saying, mind your manners. She didn't have to tell me what my manners were because she had taught me what my manners should be. You better have some good manners. You might be put away from the table for a little while. Just think about how your manners are. She had this thing she called hickory tea. And I know we got to be politically correct now. We don't have to be, I guess, but they want us to be. But this hickory tea she had, it was off a peach tree. And when I got in trouble, she said, go get me one of those limbs off that peach tree. We had three peach trees in our garden area. Had a lot of fruit trees, but there were three peach trees. And they were healthy peach trees. And I'd go and strip a switch off of that. And she called it hickory tea. Because if you don't know, a lot of times they used to use a hickory limb off of a hickory tree and whip children. So she was from the old school, so she called that little limb off that tree, she called it a hickory tea. Give you a little hickory tea to get kind of remind you what you ought to be and warn you that you don't need to do it again. But one time I went out and I brought back a little limb. When I made the second trip back, Bo went a little bit bigger. I didn't do that again. I understood that there was some courtesy that I was to show to my mother. There was some courtesy I was to show to other people. That there were some manners in my life that was expected for me to have. What about our manners toward other people? Well, 1 Peter 3 and verse 9, another thing about others is that we do not return evil for evil or revile others. And when we get into scriptures like this, we're very careful. Very careful. I know there's wars and rumors of wars and there's things that happen so people can have freedom. And we're not in that subject right now. We're in the subject of basic daily living. Someone ruffles your feathers at work and does you wrong. It don't mean you ought to turn around and ruffle their feathers and do them wrong. It means you ought to do your best to resolve the thing without a confrontation. That's what it means. That's what it means. Do not return evil for evil or revile others. You mean he said that about me? I'll get even with him. Well, I wish he hadn't said that about me, but we'll just see. Maybe he'll learn better. And we try to work through it and talk with them and work through it the best we can. Do not return evil for evil or revile others. 1 Peter 3 and verse 9. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but do what? How we treat others? Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to do this, that you may inherit a blessing. Try to avoid confrontations to the extent that as much as in you, Romans 12 verse 18, as much as life in you, live at peace with all men. It's not always possible to live peaceable with everybody. But as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Do not return evil for evil or revile others and heap it up and cause problems and agitate the thing and build a fire bigger than what it is. What about others? Show kindness. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Show the proper love. Have compassion. Don't return evil for evil or revile others, but on the contrary, show a blessing toward others. These are just a few of the things that we see in the Bible that we ought to do for others. We can read various scriptures throughout the Bible that teaches us that we ought to encourage one another. We ought to exhort one another. Sometimes we're taught in the Bible that we need to go and warn one another. It may be in the church that if I messed up and I'm doing something wrong and you see it in my life and I haven't caught on to it, and I haven't said something about it, then Donald needs to come to me if he sees it. And he needs to come to me and he says, Charles, I won't talk to you. And we need to go sit down somewhere as brothers. And he needs to say, you haven't been acting right. And it's the reason I think you hadn't. Here's what the scriptures say. Sometimes toward others, we need to go to them and we need to tell us between our brother what our fault is between him and us. And if it's a brother in Christ, if he won't hear us, take someone else and tell it. Take two more. And if he won't hear those, then tell it to the church. And if he will not hear the church, then we'll take it a step further. You see, there are things and treatments that God expects us to have toward others. But you know what? If we have compassion and love and we follow the example of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus and we have tenderheartedness and courteousness toward others and we don't revile others and we try to show a blessing to others and we try to set a good example to others, we're to be a good example to others. Matthew 5:13-16, Jesus said, "Be thou an example." Be there an example. You know, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Not just as a show off, not as a show off at all, but let your light therefore so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need to be a good example to others. Be a good example to others. And sometimes being a good example means we may have to go and call their hand on what they're doing that's wrong and try to teach them. Or they may have to come to us and call our hand and encourage us and warn us and exhort us to turn around and make things right in our life. Well, I believe this is the last point other than conclusion. And that is, what about others? Do good toward others. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Before you came in the building this evening, you knew what you should be doing to others. I knew a good bit of what I need to be doing toward others. This is just a good review for us from the Word of God. We have responsibility to God and to ourselves to obey God. Part of obeying God is doing right toward others. Well, our treatment of others is going to be noted in the Day of Judgment. I want to turn very quickly to Matthew chapter 25 and read just a few verses. And then we'll conclude. Matthew 25, beginning of verse 31. Our treatment of others is very important. Verse 31 of Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him and He'll separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats and He'll set the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry," listen now, our treatment of others. "For I was hungry and ye gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick and in prison and come to you?" In verse 40, the King will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." When I face the Lord in judgment and you face Him in judgment, we're going to be judged according to the things that are written in this book. Part of that includes our treatment of other people. How are we treating others? Now look at the ones who didn't treat others correctly. Then He'll say in verse 41 to those on the left, "Depart from me, you cursed and everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they shall also answer to Him saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you?" And then He'll say, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I'm telling you, folks, we got a big responsibility to ourselves. We've got just as big a responsibility to others. Are we doing what's right toward others? I hope the lesson tonight will encourage you to do the right thing toward yourself and toward others. If you're here this evening and you've never been baptized into Christ, why don't you do the right thing for yourself and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Be willing to make that good confession, repent of your sins and be baptized. And He'll save you from your sins. You can leave this building right with God and satisfied with yourself that you did the right thing. And then go forward, studying, growing, learning, and serving God faithfully. But if along the way we fail and we got a problem, let's go to God in prayer and ask Him to forgive it. Repent of our sin, go to Him and ask. He's there for us. If we wrong someone, let's go to them and correct it. If it's something you need to correct in a public way this evening and we can help you, then we're taught we ought to pray one for another, confess our faults one to another, and He'll hear our prayer and we'll be forgiven. Are we doing the right thing toward ourselves and toward others? Let's do the right thing toward God, and we'll be doing the right thing toward ourselves and toward others. So if you're here this evening, you need to respond to the gospel call in any way. Matthew's going to lead us in the invitation song, number 325. So if you need to respond, do so while we stand and while we sing.